Share this word from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 onwards. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 onwards. And I'll be reading the ERV version of it. And it starts like that. It says, "And you must remember the entire trip that the Lord your God has led you through these 40 years in the desert. He was testing you. He wanted to make you humble. He wanted to know what is in your heart. He wanted to know if you would obey his commands. He humbled you and let you be hungry. Then he fed you manna, something you did not know about before. It was something that the ancestors had never seen." Says, why did the Lord do this? Because he wanted you to know that it is not just bread that keeps people alive. And says, last, people's lives depend on what the Lord says. It says, that's not about bread, but what God says. And the last verse says, "This 40 years, your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell. You must remember the Lord your God teaches and corrects you as father teaches and corrects his son." So I read this verse, in this version, and it says God took them 40 years in the desert. The first thing was he was testing them. Second, he wanted to make them humble. Third, he wanted them to know what is in their heart. And he wanted to know that if they would obey his commandments. So I think the first thing was God was testing them. He brought them, they were slaves. They were working for the Egyptians, they were slaves. But God brought them out of Egypt, made them free people. Made them free people. They were out. They carried everything they had. They started in the desert. But when they were free, the day when God made them free, they came out of Egypt. They were very happy. We are slaves. No more. We are free. God brought them out. But when he brought them out, he thought these two, three things. First, I want to test them. Do they really love this freedom I'm giving them? Do they really have that gratitude in their lives that this freedom I'm giving them? Do they really love me for this freedom I've given them? So he tested them. Second, he wanted to know, he wanted to make them humble. He wanted to see if they obey his commandments. But when you see, when they came out, at one time when they were near the sea, there were soldiers after them. Third, they had no chance to go anywhere. And they literally came to a place where they said, told us, why you brought us out of Egypt? You brought us to die over here? They forgot the freedom that God had given them. Everything they forgot. But when the freedom had come, they were very happy. But when time passed, all went away. I think about one thing, we really thank God. I think of my own life. Thank you, Jesus, that you helped me, you brought me out of sin, you cleansed me. That freedom is there, the first love is there, the freedom is there, come out. But later in our life, is that gratitude, that happiness, that love, that humility, God, I was nothing but you made me this, that humility is there? Or something else takes over in my life. Something else takes over. These people, they started grumbling, complaining, murmuring, no belief in God. Now God doing such good miracles. Think about in the daytime, when they're in the desert, it was very hot. They had a cloud above them. night there was a light for them. Now God gave manna from heaven. It says the ancestors also didn't, nobody had ever seen before or eaten before the manna, but God gave them that. And everything was done. Even when there was no water, God gave them water. Sometimes they cared for meat, God gave them meat. You know, thing is, I want to demand and I want to get. Why? Because you have given me the freedom. You have given the freedom. Now I want these things. I want my life to be perfect. You know, like, I don't want any problems in my life. I want everything in my life. I forget that I was a slave. But now I become master. The drastic change, you know. I was a slave. God gave me freedom. But now I become master. The same thing. Like, I came to know about Christ. I became perfect. But later on, my life, you know, my ego, my ways, I know everything came in the way. That came in the way, changed my life. You know, I had backslided two or three times and all that, whatever it is, happens. But why this happened? Because I forgot why God had given me the freedom. God had given me the freedom to change me. Now, if God had to release that time, you know, we had to punish me. See, I gave you freedom, but you're not taking these things, you know, seriously. Punish me, give something, this thing and all that things. We're different, but God loved me. He said, okay, take your time. I'm still with you. And I'm really thankful to God today that, you know, why I'm here and how I'm here. I know, like, you know, I know where I was and what He did for me. God wants us to know, like, you know, He loves us. He loves us. He wants to discipline our lives. He wants to change us. Yeah. But do I really listen to God? Or I listen to myself? What I know better. I know better certain things. I want to take my own decisions. I know, you know, this is better. I know that person is so, this and that. I. But really think, you know, why God gave me freedom? It clearly gives you why He gives me the freedom. I have read this so many times. This verse I have read so many times. But when I was reading this ERV version, since God has, there's a reason behind everything. When God is testing me, do I'm really faithful? God, thank you, Lord, you're testing me. I want to give you praise. Even if I have nothing today, but I want to praise you. If I'm, you know, I know, like, I have a very difficult situation in life, but God, I thank you because you are helping me to pass this wilderness, this testing times, that you want to make me a righteous person, a victorious person. You want to change my life. He wants to give me we read many things in the Bible, God giving us a crown, writing His name on His palms, you know, many things, but all these promises, but when it comes to the situation when we have to pass, this testing times when we have to pass, do I really praise God for it? No, really, I was thinking about this thing, like, even when they say about this 40 years, think about I wearing a shirt for 40 years. 40 years wearing a shirt and wearing the same shoe for 40 years. Is it possible? You know, hardly if you buy a new, the best shoes, like Nike or whatever it is. Hardly you can use for 2-3 years and things will go off. But these people use that clothes for 40 years. No, this clothes didn't worn out. The shoes didn't go off. So is our life. You know, like, when God, you know, helps us, He brings us to His fold. He sees our every need. He knows everything what we need. He'll never deny us of all our needs. But He teaches us. Teaches us everything, you know, small things of life. You know, like, when you start building a building, you know, thing is, they dig deep into the ground to find a rock, a firm place, and from that, you know, they start building the foundation, and then the building is, you know, God first digs us, you know, He digs our life, He removes all that earth, and form, he lays a foundation in their lives. That structure that he makes, that santosh that he makes, will be perfect. He can stand all the storms, you know, he can stand every trial, he can stand, you know, every situation, because, you know, he is building that structure, not I building the structure. When I come in between and I start, you know, trying to do my something with the structure, there's something wrong. That structure doesn't go up. There's many faults in it. But when I give it the work to the master builder, Jesus doing work, the structure is perfect. There's a verse in, you know, if you read in Psalms 10, I'm reading the ERV only. It says in verse 4, chapter Psalms 10, and verse 4 says, the wicked are too proud to ask God for help. He does not fit in their plans. The wicked are too proud to ask God for help. And I was thinking, like, when I start taking decisions in my life, you know, and, you know, like, don't ask for God, I become like this person, you know, I'm so proud, I want to take my own decisions in my life. God doesn't fit in there. I've seen this happening in my life. It's not that, you know, something like the Bible says, I'm just saying, but this thing is happening. I think what perfect, I think this is perfect, doing this work, that work, going here, going there, making my own plans. But I really, sometimes I'm thinking, like, God, so many times in my life, I've taken so many decisions in my life that now when I see, you know, like, all that time when that decision was taken in my life, I had to fall down. So we read one more verse, we read when God speaks to Edom, we read in Obadiah, chapter 1. If you read it, verse 3, it says, your pride has fooled you. You live in those caves, high on the cliff. Your home is high in the hills. So you say to yourself, no one can bring me down to the ground. This is what the Lord says. Even though you fly like the eagle, put your nest among the stars, I will bring you down from there. You know, like, you know, thoughts are really high. You know, like, there's time which comes to us can say, I am, you know, the best. Nothing's going to happen to me. No one can bring me to the ground. No, I'm perfect. But God says, those who you left in the high places, you are like eagles, you can put your nest in the stars. But if I wish, I can bring you down right now. No, like, it's, sometimes we think, you know, like you can see women, you know, like they like to wear ornaments or bangles or whatever it is to make them look beautiful. No, God has given us ornaments to both, to the brothers and the sisters, to make our lives beautiful. First and foremost can be the ornament of repentance. When you repent, God makes you beautiful, He cleanses you. When we forgive, you know, as an ornament, God, you know, helps us to come up on a higher plane. Patience, where you can really be quiet, not show things, then an ornament in our lives can change. Humility, you know, can be. So all these things that God has kept us, has given us, that we can look, our lives can be more beautiful. From inside, not outside, from inside. When the beauty comes from inside, it automatically reflects outside. God has made all these things that we look beautiful. We are His children. How much more do I seek to be that beautiful than, you know, wearing a, sometimes like to wear a Van Nuysen shirt or a narrow shirt and all that. It's good. But the main thing is about my inner life. Do I really want to look beautiful in my life? I really want to please God in my inner life. Change my life. You know, God, I want you to do a work in my life. If you read in 1 John, read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 onwards. I read by NASB. It says, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not with him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and all its lusts, but one who does the will of the Father lives forever. The clear thing is given, like, you know, just do not love the world or the things of the world. And there are three examples is given of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and one more thing is in pride of life. Pride of life. You see, all these things that you know, egoism and what are things I have, I am better, all that. All things are going to go away. It's one life what you have. It's for a particular time. Even if I say I'm, woman can say I'm very beautiful, or a man can say I'm handsome for a little while. And all these things are going to pass away. My strength, you know, my understanding, all are going to pass away. But only one thing is going to stay, the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. I don't want to take it to heart. God, I want to really listen to you, obey you. Jesus says, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. If you love me, then you will obey my commandments. I don't want to thrust anything on you. I want you to know, you know, how it is to really be with me, have that fellowship with me, and then love me. If you love me, then obey my commandments. I don't want to force you something, but I want you to make, you know, like the person who really loves me. I want to show you, you know, that what this life is. I want to teach you. I want to discipline you. You know, like, says the one God loves, then only he disciplines the person. It's not just you're putting somebody like, I don't like Rahul, and I never say I'm doing something with him, it's no use. But when I love Rahul, I'll try to speak to him. I'll try to, you know, correct him. I'll try to change him. I'll have to speak to him about the things that are happening, you know, like, again, really help him. If I love Jesus, then I'll obey his commandments. There are many verses we live, you know, but the main thing is, it's about me and Christ. What is my relationship? Reading, you know, like, living, and everything is okay, but my main relationship, do I really speak to him? My prayer time, my quiet time, do I really go and spend my time with God? Reading, you know, reading the Word of God, does it give me joy? God, I want to read you, I want to listen to you. I want you to, you know, I keep my ears open, I want to listen, or I want to read from your Word. I want to know your will. Is that give me joy? Or spending time? If you read a verse in Ezekiel chapter 16, and verse 49. It says, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease. But she did not help the poor and needy. The first part of the reading, more thing is, the fault of Sodom, the guilt of Sodom was first saying they had arrogance, pride. They had abundant food and careless ease. Now, everything was there, perfect. And thing is, when having all those things, they didn't help the poor and needy, but these three things are given, no? Arrogance, pride, they had pride. The guilt was they had pride. Abundance and food. And careless is idle, you know, being idle. Now, well, God has given us one life, this one life. How do I live, you know? How do I live that life? Do I live it in a profitable way, in a godly way, you know, or I live my life at my ease, at my pride, you know, arrogance. I know everything. No, God, when we read many times, you know, God has a perfect plan for us, God has a perfect will for us. How much time do I spend to say, God, I want to know your will in my life? How much time I spend? I want to know your will. Today I'm going to sit here and just want to listen to you. I want to know your will. And I want to walk accordingly. Even if I may fall, but I want to get up, repent, but I want to start walking. I don't want to be that baby who is sitting, that 1 year, 2 year old who doesn't even try to walk. Lord, I pray that you help me to stand up. Make me walk. I want to walk. I want to learn to walk. I think God can do a work. You know, He can change our lives. I really pray that God will help us to have that life, that had that relationship with Him, the personal relationship. We can really go and talk to Him, speak to Him. We can really share our troubles. We can share our trials. We can really ask for help. You know, even joy, in a situation when we have joy, when we have certain good things happening in our life, God, I want to thank you. Something that testing times coming, God, I want to thank you that you thought I am able to, you know, cross, have this situation in my life, overcome over this, have victory over it. I thank you. Good times, bad times, any time, but God, I want that time with you. I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to, you know, have fellowship with you. Enoch walked with God. What did Enoch do? No miracles, nothing. He walked with God, spent time with God, listened to Him, you know, listened to His words. You know, I want to have that walk in my life. I also fall many times, many problems are there, but God, that one thing I want, even if I fall, I want to get up. I want to come to you. I want to really be with you. Then God can do a work in our lives. Really, God help us to have that life. That every day, like that, every second that time I can really speak to Him, like can really pray to Him, where I can thank Him, you know, can be happy with Him. And that fellowship, that walk with God can be really done in our lives. May really God help us.
Thank God for the word we heard today. We heard how God, in a wonderful way, provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness to make them humble and to test them to know what is in their heart, and also to test them whether they would trust God alone. Wilderness is a situation where we have no other way. The only thing we can do is trust God. You know, like the barren land, kilometers of only sand. There is no industry. There is no possibility of working. There is no possibility of doing business. Nothing. The only thing we can do in a wilderness situation is learning to trust God. So good to ask sometime. Have we passed through such situations in our life when God will lead us sometime? Purpose is to test us. when we don't have our own resources, our own things to play around, whether in all humility we learn to trust God and see God's provisions. That's what we say. What a wonderful, as brother said, 40 years wearing dress, their sandals did not wear out, and everything was provided for. Only thing God wanted from them in return was in humility, leaning on God alone, trusting Him, loving Him. We see what God expects from us, that sanctify Jesus as Lord in our lives. Not only just Savior, in every aspect of our life, receiving Jesus, allowing Jesus to be the Lord and Master of our life, our education, career, our wealth, whatever. So that is what God wants to accomplish in our life, that blessedness of allowing Jesus to be the Lord in every aspect of our life. In such a life, God takes care of everything concerning us. He takes the entire response. We need not struggle, we need not strive. Everything is provided for, taken care of. We see this principle in when Jesus told in Matthew chapter 6, seek you first the kingdom of God. So this is the first thing God wants to teach us. Learning to seek God and His righteousness. Seek you first the Lord and His kingdom. And what will follow? All these things will follow. When we learn to seek God and His kingdom first in our life, in every detail, in every practical steps, we can see God will show Himself faithful to us. His unfailing love, His unfailing provision. All these things we normally struggle for, He's taking care, He's provided. And that's what He displayed in to the children of God in Israel. It's a wonderful life. We can aspire to be there increasingly, slowly. Lord, I want to learn to trust You alone, not in my own ability, my own resources, my own skills, but I want to trust You. I want to acknowledge You as a Lord of my life in every situation, even in the wilderness, even when there is abundance. When there is time of abundance, I will not give my attention away from God to what God has provided. I will trust You alone. So that's something which God wants to teach us. I was reading something during this week, something which I was thinking in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20. We see here a situation where the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, suddenly faced with far more powerful enemies. He heard that they were coming to attack him. So as compared to their strength, he recognized, I am weak. So we see certain things we can really learn from there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 3 and 4. When we heard the news that enemies have surrounded the country and they started attacking, this was initially his response. Verse 3 and 4. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek the Lord, seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. So this is what he did. When he was faced with that unsurmountable situation, enemies, that prospect of being defeated, prospect of being crushed and destroyed. So what did he do? He was afraid naturally. He was honest. It's written. He was afraid. But he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Even the situation that conflict or challenging situation, instead of focusing there, he turned to God. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. And in fasting and praying, he sought the Lord. Lord, it is a time when I don't know what to do. The same thing is written in a subsequent verse. verse 12. It's a wonderful passage, verse 12. Chapter 20, verse 12. O our Lord, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. He recognized his vulnerability. I am powerless compared to the power of the enemy. So, and he is saying this. We do not know what to do. This is what he is saying. We do not know what to do. So have you seen situation in our lives? We don't know what to do. We have no answer. We cannot explain. We cannot bring out a solution. Someone asking, we have no answer. We don't know what to do. And he is also saying, but our eyes are on you. So this is something God wants us to teach us. When we are in a situation where we don't know what to do, but that's the time our eyes should be on Jesus. Our eyes are on us. So this, earnestly he started seeking the Lord. He recognized his limitation. He recognized, I have no answer in this situation. I don't know what to do. I just can't do anything. But I trust, put my confidence in you. I trust you. So when he did that, he surrendered that situation and started seeking the Lord. Lord started working in his life. Through prophetic utterances, in verse 15 we read, verse 15, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. When we surrender our lives, when we allow God to take responsibility concerning us, we just abandon ourselves to his hands. This is how God will work in our lives. He will say that battle is no more yours, it is mine. God is taking over the situation. God is taking over the battle. Battle is not yours, but God's. This is something which we need to recognize in our life. We tend to battle in our own strength, in our own ability. I can also try. That's very often we do. But God wants us to hand over our battle to the Lord. And that happened when we honestly, earnestly seek him and surrender our lives and allow him to rule in our lives. Allow him to be the Lord and Master in our life. Then Lord will take over our battle. And verse 17 also we read, you need not fight in this battle. What a wonderful, when surrounded by such a situation also, God is saying, you need not fight. I am taking over the responsibility. I am going to fight for you. And we can see in a wonderful way what happened is, when they started praising, thanking God, and God sent a delusion among the enemy, they started fighting each other and they destroyed them. He thought Jehoshaphat going with his, we read that in verse 22. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. So this is something which I was reminded during this week. When we are in a situation when we don't know what to do, we cannot explain the situation, we have no answer, we have no solution. So, but God wants us to see, turn our hearts, start seeking him. But our eyes are on you. It's good to see something which we can apply in every situation in our life. When we are challenged with problems which we have no answer, we cannot solve, turning to God and looking to him, our eyes are on you, and allowing him to take over responsibility concerning us. May God really help us and bless us. And I think many of the Old Testament things are a shadow of the New Testament. The same principles even work now. When we surrender our lives, when we love the Lord, seek him and his kingdom, he takes God over. He makes the provisions. He works for us. It's a wonderful life of rest in our life, which we can live. We want to encourage many brothers and sisters to come forward and share brief things, what God has been dealing with you, not a preaching. So preaching we have to do prepare. Something God is working in our life during this time, during this season. this week or this month and share that. It will be an edification for everyone. Try to take only 5, maximum 10 minutes each, not beyond 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. I want to encourage Titus, young brothers, sisters, also take time. And our health of the church is when so many people contribute. Word of God says that every one of you has a word, a psalm, a song, a prophecy. So God has given us a little bit. We should not be shy, and we have to share what God has given for the benefit of others. So I want to encourage you. Let there be a rush towards the front.
Praise the Lord. Santosh was speaking about 40 years. Can all hear, no? A small testimony which I would like to share that could glorify God. Why I said 40 years was, I wanted to speak about 15 years of my marriage experience. Which we recently completed. Still to go. But again, God has led us through. I remember Sanjay speaking about his changes which he wants to get in his life. And the changes what I have brought into my life, the experience what God thought me through. I think everyone would have different sort of experience in their own life. Something what, you know, I have learned through. You know, building a house, I think it's easy. Building a house. But making a home is not easy. Because making a home is something where everything has to come together. It's like where in Luke it says, salt, if it does not have its taste, it's useless. But when we see salt itself, there are two chemicals. And both by itself cannot do anything. But when they combine, they add taste and it becomes beautiful. Similarly, I also experienced that. And to my initial stage of time, to this now, I went through lots of things. It was times like, you know, I have thought about why is that like this. And I used to also say that, is it really God's will in my life to have this wife with me? At time I used to get irritated, frustrated, and get angry about myself. Maybe even my wife would have had the same thoughts, but it's maybe it's up to her own this. But I'm just sharing my thoughts. And there were times also, is this partner really the will of God? And at times when she when there was arguments sort of things, so very difficult to handle, and getting angry, you know, being a believer and getting angry is something which is out of God's word, which was very difficult for me to practice in my home itself. But slowly, you know, God started teaching me, and as in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, you know, marriage is something which is honorable, and it should not be defiled by any means. God has made it and God has blessed it. And many of the times, you know, there was very much discouraged about, and in all that, I used to only ask God to help me out. to be a person, right? And to do the right way. Because in me, when I think, I don't find, you know, that much good, and to myself, where I could say that I am really good. I was also short-tempered. I used to get angry. In my early days of my married life, I remember when I used to, you know, I used to hit my head sometimes. I used to bang my head with on the wall. But it's God who teaches and makes things beautiful at His time. And today I would say, yes, it is beautiful. Because if I hadn't to learn, I would have not been what I am today. But I would not say that I'm complete. Still, I have to go ahead, as I said. In my last 15 years, like, lots of, you know, as a wife, you know, there's lots of expectation from husband in terms of maybe wealth and in terms of, you know, in all other ways, lots of expectation is there. And similarly, even, you know, husbands do have that expectation, like, you know, in every manner, like, you know, to be loved and to be, you know, when you come home from work, like, to offer a cup of tea or a coffee or a water. Or suddenly, you know, when you enter the house, you are banged with something. This is not there, that is not there. And when you come exhausted from work, there is a different sort of scenario where it's something difficult. And when sometime it is like, you know, yes, I have to go home. You feel tired, you know. Working at work is fine. But when you say go home, it is something you feel tired about it. So that sort of situations when it came. And then, you know, the day of the marriage, we are reminded of a promise that, you know, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish and protect, it says. And then it says, till death do us part, according to God's holy law. Very nicely, we hold each other's hand and we promise each other. But I do not know how much of us we really mean to that. And every time I'm reminded of that, personal, that how much I am to that word. You know, it is something where God has loved us beyond Cain, it means where He has not expected something from us. But as a husband, I might have expected lots of things from my wife, that she should be like this, and she should be this way, she should respect in this manner, she should talk this way. But even similarly, my wife might have the same expectation. But there's something where, you know, where God taught me, like, you know, in the last 2-3 years, where not to expect something, but to love as God has loved you, as you are. Because there is shortcomings in me. And similarly, I should not look into the mistakes and get angry about it, because I myself have got lots of things which God Himself, God looks at it and ignores, you know, and gives me a chance to be corrected about. And it was really, you know, whenever I used to take that burden, God, help me in making my home. Help me in making it better. Help me that I should not get angry, that I should not be proud about anything. and my desires should be within my home. So then I used to carry that to the Lord, as Brother Santosh also said, you know, that the word, I should be with my Lord only. But when I come, I should not put that I always and say that I have done. That, you know, is something like I'm praising myself, which I didn't wanted to carry that. And earlier I used to have that sort of attitude. You know, when something you have done, you like to have your name up, but then lately God made me to recognize it is not you. It is God who is working back of the scene and making things beautiful for you. So God has really blessed us, and I would thank God in helping me and still further also, and where His name is glorified, and as a home we grow and be a testimony, and God lead us and bless us. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the words God spoke to us. Really was encouraged by what Brother Ajay spoke. Really, it's a blessing to hear like this. Our experiences are really, it's a, like when I hear something about someone, it, like I can also put myself in that place, how I would react. And it is really an encouragement to speak from the heart, whatever we go through. It's always good, better than preaching, it's better to speak out our heart. So I was really encouraged by listening to him, and it's like I can also learn from them, like from other brothers, from who may be just 1 year of marriage, but something I can learn from each one of them for my own life, how they overcame. I was really challenged by what he said, that now it has become beautiful. So I don't need to get discouraged that I'm not perfect, and there are so many areas where change is required. But I can look to that person. Yeah, he could do it, so why not me? God can do it in me also. He can also make my marriage beautiful. For my own life also, I was seeing every day it's a learning process. Many times I rebel and don't listen. Those times the home becomes a hell, but the times when I really humble down and I honestly tell God, Lord, this is my mistake, that is the area, that those are the instances where I see that there is a progress. It is not beautiful now, but so many changes have happened. I can see that it's God's work. I cannot take any credit. The best one who can tell about my condition is my wife itself. God knows everything, even my secret, which my wife doesn't know. But a real evaluation can be done by my wife and my children. They will also be able, even if my children are a little big, they will be able to say, is my dad really truthful? Is he honest? Is he just saying big things without anything in his life? Is he really a true person? Is there any hypocrisy in him that only my children can say and my wife can say? I can say that I'm not perfect. There are many areas where I really need to learn, but I can say that progress has been made in some areas by God's grace. These testimonies are really a challenge to me, really an encouragement to me. I thank the Lord that we have some examples here whom we can look up to. We are all learning. We have all failed many times, but our God never leaves us. He says, the word of God says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus now. If I confess my sin today, He is able to justify me and He is able to lead me on. And one day we can say that one day he will bring us to a place where there is abundance. We can really say from our heart that marriage is beautiful. From the first day, it is not like that. There are many challenges, but as we grow, as we learn from our mistakes, we can rise up above that and ask God's grace to change us. The first thing is not to ask God to change the other person. Lord, change me, and from my example, let my partner learn. That is the one thing that I always pray. Lord, change me, and through my life that I give to my wife, let she also learn, not that I grab her and change her. That is not God's will. Rather I ask God, Lord, let the life that I have, the true life that I have, be so much that it will impact my wife, it might impact my children. From me it should flow through others, to others. That is the best way that a marriage life can be. But many times I have failed, but I can still believe that this life is possible because I know that it's possible. There are so many examples before me. So I can trust God that, and when he speaks also sometimes, like, this is the area where you need to change. And when I listen to that, that is the time when God works. One word that God spoke to me today, what Santosh spoke also, that man shall not live, that word that he spoke, Deuteronomy 8, if you see, man lives, Deuteronomy 8:3 says that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the same verse, even Jesus quoted the same verse when he was tempted. He quoted the same verse that to the devil, that he had fasted for 40 days and then he was hungry. He could have easily gone and done what he wanted, but he still told the devil that I will not do what I want. I will do what God tells me to do. That is really a challenge, because when I have something in my hand, when I have so many things before me, I can just go and do what I want. But in that moment, to trust God, to ask God to guide me, is a very challenging thing. But that is the way God wants me to live, that even if I have less, it is easy to trust God. But when I have more also, I ask God to speak to me, and then only I take a decision. Whatever I do, I always listen and then speak. Then I speak and then I do. It says in Isaiah about Jesus that he, morning by morning, he woke and he listened to his father continuously. He was always in communion with his father, and he took decisions only after listening to his father. He just didn't what pleased him. He didn't do what pleased himself, what he liked. He always did what he listened. He listened and then spoke. When that woman was caught in adultery, he could have just, like the Pharisee, he could have also told something and he could have spoken very nicely, but he waited for his father to speak to him, and then he spoke. And that was really a blessing for that woman, and there was a revival in the city with that woman's one word, with that Jesus, what he spoke, that brought a revival in the city. So it's best to listen to God and then speak. In the home also, it is best to listen and then speak, because many times we are very, very, very hasty and speak something, and then the whole atmosphere in the home is spoiled. So it is better to listen, to be a little calm, to wait on God and ask His wisdom, and then speak. To our children also, we need to really need a lot of grace, that we don't just very fast, we get angry and just speak something, and then it is such a bad atmosphere in the home. It's best to ask God's grace, Lord, what I should do in this situation. In my inner heart, I can speak to God and ask God's grace to what I need to speak in this situation, what I need to do in this situation, to helplessly depend on Him. Because He has given us all a measure of wisdom, but He doesn't want us to use our own wisdom and strength. He wants us to depend on Him. That is why He gives freedom, so that on our own will, we choose Him, we choose His voice, we choose Him to speak to us. And then as we regularly do that, then it becomes a habit, and then a life becomes beautiful. It's really a beautiful life if we can always listen to His word, if we can listen to what He's speaking to us and then react according to it. But it is not it doesn't happen in one day. We really need God's grace that, and when He speaks, we need to listen also. We are very self-centered, that we think we can do it on our own. Then God has to again speak. He again speaks. And then when we listen, finally, then we see His work being done. So I really want that every day to listen to Him and to react according to what He wants me to do everything as He wants me to do it. And then we we stop being our own self, becomes no longer becomes our idol, and many times self is our idol, and then we listen to what our self says and we please ourselves everywhere, and there is havoc everywhere. Everywhere we go there is havoc. But when we humble down and ask God to be the center of our life and ask him to lead us, then it becomes a beautiful life. I believe that this life is possible, and I really want to strive to grow. As Brother Santosh said, we don't want to live as babies forever. We want to grow, we want to walk, we want to take steps, small steps maybe, but we want to grow in the Lord. It may not happen one day, but we believe that he who has called us, he is faithful, he is able to, he who has started the good work, he is able to complete it, he is able to make us grow into maturity. Praise God for the word given.
Today I like to share about one thing that Brother Zach told us in the conference. That Brother Zach was talking about taking a stand for Jesus. And I had seen the video about Daniel and his three friends. And I also want to share that every time I come here, my wife gets very afraid that she thinks that I am going to speak about her. So I want to talk about the decision that one Brother Jack was standing and telling that 51 years back, Brother Jack took a decision to stand for Jesus. He was a youth, he was in the Navy, he was 19 years old, and he was seeking God. He had everything, but there was emptiness in his life. He had everything in his life that he wanted, a good future, good money, good life. But something was missing in his life, and he was searching, seeking God. And God spoke to his heart, and he wanted to preach the gospel, the whole gospel. He saw around his many churches he had attended, many fellowship he had attended. But there was something missing, and there was a thirst in his heart to preach the whole gospel. The decision he took in his youth, 51 years back, the same thing when I was seeing the video about Daniel, about taking a stand in every circumstances, in every situation we face in our life, even today, in our present life. There are many situations, circumstances when we feel that we are about to fall in sin, like just like they are to worship the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had created. Today, there are many statues in our life. Maybe it will be our job, maybe it will be our career, a beautiful girlfriend, our rich neighbors, anything, that we prepare a statue that will be, in today's time, will be bowed on, will be compromised with our life, our walk with Jesus. So it was very powerful when Brother Zach was speaking there, that today, can I take a stand for Jesus in any situation, any circumstances? That just recently that I was, 2 months back, I had fallen from the steps. It was a sudden fall, and I didn't get hurt. And I had promised that I'll share in the church that God had saved me, because I fell 6 times on the same steps and nothing had happened, but I didn't share it. And I told one friend also that I have not shared it. And recently, 1 week back, I got sudden pain in my back without any reason. So today I want to thank God that at that time I had not thanked God. Every little blessing that God does in our life, every situation, he helps us. God is always there to protect us, but I took it for granted. So I don't want to think anything's for granted in my life. Now I want to share one more thing about our destiny. I want to start with a small story. There was a very famous painter, and he was painting the Last Supper. And you know that in the old times, to paint a picture, it used to take many years. And he had completed the painting. There was only one, he was painting about the Last Supper. Everyone he had painted, now he wanted to paint Judas. He wanted a person who had the characteristic about Judas, a very evil face that he could paint on the painting. And it took 3 years for him to search the person. He met the person on the street. He told that, "I want to paint a picture. Will you come? I'll pay you money." So the man came, and as he was entering the studio, he thought that the studio is looking very familiar. And when the artist took him, told him to sit here because I want to paint you. And then as the artist was painting the picture, he was looking at the man and painting the picture, the man started crying. So the painter stopped the painting and he went to the man, "Why you are crying?" So the person told that, "The picture you are painting today, 3 years back, you painted me for Jesus. 3 years back, I was here, had Jesus. You wanted a picture of Jesus, you had selected me. And now I am being painted for being Judas." So he told that, "Once my life was very good. I was living as a Christian. I was living for God. Slowly, I started blacksliding." And he never knew when he totally blacksided. And now he was as Judas. So the thing I want to share with you, that when we are born, God tells us that it is good. That God has a destiny for our life. God has a purpose for our life. And when God created the world, every time he created something, the 6 days he created one thing. He saw it and said that it was good. And today, when we are born, from our mother's womb, God sees us and said, it's very good. Again, like Judas, when we started blacksliding, we became Christians, we are born again. And there are circumstances, situations in our life when slowly by slowly, like this man in the story, we as Christians start slowly backsliding and we never know when we go into sin. And Jesus promised us restoration. Every time we fall into sin, Jesus is always there to help us. Just like Brother Rajesh was sharing, in a marriage also, we do not condemn our wife. Any wrong, any situations, we have to overlook, we have to forgive. God is also there to forgive us. God is always there to restore us. I want to just see the Bible. If you look at the prodigal son, when he did everything, he was a good son, but he wanted his money. He wasted all his money and he came back to his father. His father forgave him. And if you look at Peter also, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. But again, Jesus gave him a time of restoration. And he gave him 3 chances to repent. And today I want to share from the Bible, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. I want to read from 7 to 15 verses. Today also God is giving us a destiny and God is giving us a call. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall never not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Thank you.
I thank the Lord that he brings me once again with you. And once again, I could able to share with you about the topic which I am and everybody of us are deals with. And the topic is the self-centeredness and your pride. I think man is also dealing with the same kind of problems. At the days of Egyptians, when all Israelites have been brought out by the God's mighty hand, and they are also having certain kind of a self-centeredness. their psychology was like that. They were self-centered and they were very much in that kind of a mentality that, okay, we are slaves and we are okay with it. 200 years, God is not with us. Now, days are passing, our generations are living as it is, so nothing will happen. So such kind of, but all of a sudden when Moses came and this turnaround happened, it is becomes very much difficult to them to understand what's God's plan in their life. Though they know about the word, though their ancestors knows, but still, to get the situation when abruptly things happen with you, sometimes it is might be difficult to cope up with the things and understand what God is doing. Because that's the word of God, that His ways are different than our human tendency to understand or grasp. So this is the thing. Their pride and their self-centeredness was the main reason to understand all these things. That's why God wants to deal with them, and He dealt with them every time, and at the same time He take care of them. He shows them that what is the trusting in Lord, how the Almighty God can bear with them, how can He teach to understand His love. Basic idea that He had not forsaken them. And this is the way He handled them, that 40 years He cares for them. And whatever the pride in them, He dealt only with that pride. That's why Jesus has told us, don't hate sinners, but hate that mentality of that sinning, the nature. This is the thing that God every time wants to teach every one of us till day. And God is calling from the days of Adam, that Adam, where are you? I'm searching for you. And this is the actually new covenant era we have living. We are living in that way that God doesn't want to punish us immediately, but wants to teach us how the way my son has behaved throughout the 31 years, he had 33 years, he has been lived in this land as a man and as a God. And from the Proverbs also it has been told that how the God's son has behaved. In Proverbs 8:13 it has been written that all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. In Proverbs 11:2 also it has been told that pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. By reading Bible, some people are getting knowledge. Today also, with the knowledge of Bible, you can deceive people. But if you are getting knowledge of that Bible to get a wisdom, you have to show your humility in every relationship, whether towards your wife, towards your friends, towards your colleagues, and everywhere. Your humility brings you same kind of a nature which God Jesus Christ has been shown to His disciples and allow other fellow persons over there. He has been totally humble man, a very humble man. At that time also, when Israelites has been rescued from the Egyptian's kingdom, there is a person, Moses, who always faced opposition from the Israelites people also. But what he had done, he just fall down. He just fall down before the God, and due to his humility, God raises him to the honor that no one has been spoke with God face to face. His humbleness, his humility is there. If we are self-centered, if we are not humble, how could we expect that God will bless us? I think that is the thing. That is the root cause. That they every time betrayed with the God. They every time grumble against God. So I think we need to show this kind of humility to get honor before God. And it is Brother Jack also has told us, many people have come against us, many people humiliate us. But our humility, our humbleness before God will give us honor. And it's the word of God that it has been given a promise. If we are humiliated by others because of our God, then God will also going to honor us. Because that our humility brings honor to us. I think we must be teach these things to us, that we are nothing in our flesh and blood. Our God, His power, His Spirit is going to work us, and His grace will allow us to get this kind of humility in our heart and humbleness to give us such kind of honors. Thank you.